Now the epistle that's appointed to be read for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians, chapters 5 and 6. Brethren, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be made desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in any fault, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so ye shall fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something, whereas in he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every one prove his own work, and so he shall have glory in himself only, and not in another. For every one shall bear his own burden, and let them be instructed in the word that are instructed in the word communicate to him that instructeth him in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For what things a man shall sow, those also shall he reap. For he that soweth in the flesh, of the flesh also shall reap corruption. But he that soweth in the Spirit, of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. And in doing good let us not fail, for in due time we shall reap, not failing. Therefore, whilst we have the time, let us work good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of God. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7. At that time, Jesus went into a city called Nain, and there went with him his disciples and a great multitude. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a great multitude of the city was with her, whom when the Lord had seen, being moved with mercy towards her, he said to her, "Weep not." And he came near, and he touched the bier, and they that carried it stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet is risen up amongst us, and God hath visited his people." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Therefore, whilst we have the time, let us work good to all men, but especially to those who are in the household of the faith. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many years ago, my dear friends, there was a lawyer and his wife who were making their way home from a party in the middle of a rainstorm. And the dirty roads, which back at that time were not even yet paved, had become quite slick, and so they still had about 60 miles left for their trip home, and they decided to take a shortcut, which would not only take off some time from the journey, but also some distance. Well, soon they found that the back roads were even worse than the highway that they had been on, and they actually slid off the road, and their car was stuck on the shoulder. It was raining, and there was no sign of help. This was long before they had OnStar, AAA, or any way of getting help in such a situation. And they were truly out in the middle of nowhere. So they resigned themselves to staying in the car all night. However, a car of young people passed by them and saw them stalled there. So they came back and offered to help. The young man who owned the car pulled a rope out of his trunk, and in no time at all, they pulled the lawyer's car out of the mud and had him safely on his way. Now, the lawyer wanted to pay the young man for his services, but he declined, so the lawyer asked if he could at least fill the tank with gas for him, but again, he said he was fine. The young man did make one stipulation, though. He said, "The only way you can pay us is to buy one of these tow ropes of your own and keep it in your car, and use it to help the first person that you find in trouble." He explained that not long before, someone had helped tow him out and had told him the same thing. Well, the lawyer made good on this contract, and the very next day he bought a tow rope. And interestingly enough, within a week's time, he himself had an opportunity to use it and to help a stranded driver of his own. Thus, through the charity of that first person who had told the young people to get a rope, three more people at least were helped by that charity and by the idea of passing it along. Right before this passage in the epistle, my dear friends, St. Paul also speaks of charity. He calls charity the first fruit of the Holy Ghost. He then goes on to explain just how we are to practice charity and who is to benefit most from our charity. One of the directions St. Paul tells us in order to be charitable is that we are to teach others. Now, this, of course, can happen when we actually instruct one in the faith, one who is ignorant of the truths of the faith. But in today's so fast-paced society, there are very few who will actually take the time to stop and learn anything. So we must make sure that if we are going to teach the truths of the faith, as St. Paul says that we must, we have to teach by our example. Our family and friends, our acquaintances, those we work with, should be able to tell right from wrong by seeing how we act. They should see that there are certain stories, conversations, or jokes which we will listen to, but also ones that we will walk away from if they are offensive to God. By our example, we will let them know what type of recreations we can take, what things we can have for amusement in our lives. But also, on the other hand, they should see from us which recreations and so-called amusements are offensive to God. Closely connected to teaching by example, St. Paul next exhorts us to correct those who are in need of correction. Now, this is a charitable practice which is very maligned today. In the anti-God society that we live in, many, many people will hide behind the cloak of "who am I to judge?" in order to let others live lives of sin. Now, of course, we are not to judge each other. But on the other hand, our Lord did say, "Judge just judgments." So in the practical order, what are we to do? Well, here's the thing. We cannot judge the soul of another. We cannot judge and say that so-and-so is not on the path to heaven because of what they are doing. That is the kind of judging that is forbidden. It is also forbidden for us to say that if we had to make such and such a decision, we would do better. For again, we don't know if God would give us the grace or if God has withheld the grace from another. But what we can judge and what we must judge is the external actions of others. If our neighbor, our friend, or our family have something in their lives that could be a temptation to us, or if they have an external action in their life which is offensive to God, then we can and we must judge that we cannot in any way participate in that action or that external thing, which could either be a temptation to us or a temptation to themselves to offend God. That is where the judging of just judgments comes in, and that's where St. Paul's exhortation to correct another comes in. Again, we do not judge that we are better than them, but if a close family member or loved one who will take our correction is doing something externally that is sinful, we have a duty in charity to correct them, to show them that if they persevere in such an action, they will lose their place on the path to heaven. And so that is why St. Paul says to correct each other. Again, we are correcting the faults that we fear may lead them away from God. Finally, St. Paul says that we are to bear each other's burdens. By this, he means that all of us who have contracted original sin the moment we were brought into this world, all of us have certain faults and failings. All of us have things in our lives that we must work against if we are going to become saints. Now, some people's faults may very much perturb others, whereas certain faults may be easy to just put up with. But St. Paul says no matter what, when our neighbor or those we live with, our loved ones, our family members, when they have faults and failings, we have to be as kind and as charitable as we can while they try to work to better themselves. We must also remember that we too have faults and failings that maybe they see as a very hard burden to live with. And so that's why St. Paul says we're bearing each other's burdens. Not that we're carrying anything for each other, but that we are putting up with each other's faults in a meek, charitable, and kind way. We must first and foremost then do those three things. Practice charity by good example. Practice it by correcting those who are in need of correction, and by bearing with the burdens of each other. And we can do all of this well if we pray for ourselves and for our fellow men. Pray that they receive God's help in their lives. In the New Testament, my dear friends, the one word that we could use to sum up the entire doctrine of the New Testament, from the birth of our Lord at Bethlehem, when he left his heavenly home to become an innocent little child in the manger for us, all the way to the deathbed of St. John the Evangelist, the very last apostle to die, the one word that sums up all the doctrine is charity, or love for one another in God's name. Our Lord taught this charity many, many times, of course, throughout his public life, but we see it in a miraculous way being taught by word and example in today's gospel. Our Lord was so charitable to that widow of Nain. He saw her heart broken with grief, and it is said that our Lord can never stand to see a mother in grief, and that he always not only listens to the petition of a mother, but he also will, even at times like he did in Nain, go towards the one that is praying to him, or go towards the one in need, and actually help them before they even pray for it themselves, which is a great consolation to all of us of that great charity in our Lord's life. But our Lord also showed a certain charity that sometimes might be hard for us to practice, and that is, he knew that on Good Friday, his own mother would be in the same situation. He knew that she would be the widowed mother watching her only son die on Good Friday. And sometimes when we know that we are going through something somebody else is going through, we may think only of ourselves, or become tight-fisted, as it were, in our ability to help others because, well, we are suffering the same thing ourselves. But our Lord did not think that way. He did not count the cost that would one day be called upon he and his beloved mother to suffer. No, he miraculously cured that dead man so that his mother could have joy back in her life, without taking any consideration into the fact that he would not be able to do the same for his own mother until Easter Sunday. He approached that funeral bier, he raised that young man to life, and he once again showed us the charity that resides in his sacred heart. And it is that charity which all of us must try to imitate, and which each and every one of us must pray for the grace to practice. In order to practice charity successfully in our lives, let us then follow these exhortations of St. Paul and the example that our Lord showed us in today's gospel. Let us teach those who are in need. Let us correct those who we have a modest hope will learn from our correction, and let us, of course, teach by our good example. Especially for parents, there is a duty in charity to teach, instruct, and lead your children. As they grow older, there will be important lessons that they have to learn. Even, for instance, the fact of why do they have to go to church maybe so far away, or why do they have to go to church here at Holy Nativity? These and other serious matters you will have to teach them as they grow older. And that, too, is a burden of charity, which you will teach them out of the love you have for them and for their eternal salvation. For all of us, we must be a good example to the young of how to lead a good Catholic life, not only because there are so few of those examples left, but when it comes our turn to die, when it comes our turn to meet our Lord at the particular judgment, we will want the generation below us to make sure that we are well provided with the sacraments. We will want the little children who may be first and second graders today to be the adults at that time who come to our aid when we need it most. And they will only be able to do so if we teach them the truths of the faith, and if by our example we show to them that the faith is something very important to us. Let us then, my dear friends, bear each other's burdens. Let us do this especially for those who are in the household of the faith, as St. Paul says. That is, let us show our charity first and foremost towards our fellow Catholics. And if we do this, we will be following our Lord's example. We will be heeding his constant exhortation to love one another. And this will put us in great standing to be able to confidently look one day to the eternal reward that is granted to all those who practice charity forever in heaven. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.